You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
Any of you drink orange juice? Raise your hand if you drink orange juice. Okay, maybe half. How about tomato juice? A few left, or less than that. Okay, all right, get ready for this. How many of you drink prune juice? Oh, look at two healthy people over there. Yes, two people drink or prune juice. My mom used that to me as a discipline tool. How many of you drink milk? Okay, about the same as orange juice, but quite a few. If you squeeze an orange, what comes out? Very good. If you squeeze a tomato, what comes out? You are brilliant people. You squeeze a prune, what comes out? And if you squeeze a cow, don't answer that, okay? Milk is the answer, the correct answers, but we'll just go with that. And we're going to talk about milk for a little bit today because that's the only one that's really biblical out of this list. So you go to the store and you get a nice clean carton of milk. It even says it on the label, milk. And on here it even says this is a recyclable plastic jug. So I'll try to refer to this as a jug, a milk jug. This is what you expect milk to come in. So you go to the store and you buy your milk, you get home, you're ready for this refreshing drink. You sit down to the table and you pour out this refreshing glass of prune juice. Well, that's not what I expected. You? Huh. Well, let this picture sink in for a while. Because today's message, don't go on there, today's message is when your contents don't match your label. Pastor Sean, could you do me the honors of taking that back to the kitchen and refrain from, oh, no, that's a bad picture. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus says this, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, and a bad tree does not bear good fruit. Men do not pick figs from thorn bushes. They do not pick grapes from bramble bushes. An evil man from the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. A good man from the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. A tree is judged by its fruit." Now listen to this. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Amen. Years ago, many years ago, before I was a pastor, so this is kind of a little bit more okay. I was having a bad, really bad day. I was working outside. We had a big barn, doing all kinds of things that just weren't working out. I pushed the door open, and I walked through into the barn. Everything was dark, and I tripped over something and fell. I got up, found the light, turned it on, found out I had tripped over an empty trash can. Found a handy shovel on the wall, and I gave that thing a really good pound. And it went flying, tumbling, and had a big old dent in it. So I tracked it down, and I beat it a couple, two, three more times, jumped on it for one last good measure, flattened it out like a pancake. And I thought, how much is a new trash can going to cost now? But then I went outside and thought, boy, I hope nobody was watching. I hope nobody saw that or heard that. Because I'm a good Christian man. The fruit of the Spirit should be evident. The last in that list is self-control, which didn't come out then. It was a lot like prune juice coming out from a milk jug. My contents did not match my label. When people get to know us, they expect the same behavior that's on our label. Now, if we just live a worldly life, then we're free to just express that kind of behavior, and we're not really held accountable because we don't follow a moral and ethical code. But when we sign up to be a believer, because that's what you do, you're expected to have a little bit higher level of behavior. And on occasion, the contents doesn't match the label. For instance, we may react very harshly in a situation where we could have been more gracious. We may really struggle and fight to win an argument rather than consider someone else's opinion. Or maybe we just revel in being the life of the party instead of helping someone else make a friend. It's like being full of yourself or full of prune juice. And it appears a lot like that prune juice coming out of the milk jug. Your contents just doesn't match your label. Jesus, in Matthew 23, says this, "Woe to you, teachers of the law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, full of bones and dead things. On the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness." Their contents didn't match their label. Years ago when we bought our house in Allendale, out in farm country, it's in a nice 5 acres woods, about the size of, I suppose, in general, the whole land that we have here. Beautiful, tall, stately trees. You drive through this little two-track and make a turn, and there's this big, stately tree. Massive trunk on that thing. The limbs sprawled out. The barn was out over a side of it. You know, it kind of complemented the barn. I built some structures under this big, strong, stately tree. Every morning when I'd come out, I'd see it. Every night when I come home from work, I would see that tree. It was my favorite tree. One night, we heard a crash. Didn't pay much attention to it because in the woods, things fall. But when I got up in the morning and I walked out, my big stately tree had tumbled down and crushed the roof of the barn and those structures beneath it. So I went over and checked it out. It turned out that over the years, ants had made a nest inside that, a giant nest. And they had hollowed the entire thing out. On the outside, it was this big, beautiful, stately tree. But inside, it was rotten to the core. Its contents, or its lack of contents in this case, did not match its label. So how can you and I ensure that what's inside us matches our label? 3 steps here. The first one is this. Understand this bit of wisdom. Garbage in, garbage out. Or a more tactful way of saying it would be, you are what you eat. Through your mouth, through your eyes, through your ears, through your mind, through your spirit. What you put into your body becomes your flesh. What you put into your mind becomes your focus. What you put into your spirit becomes your friend. And that's dangerous. And likewise, whatever you read about occupies your thoughts. Whatever you listen to persuades your speech. Whatever you watch influences your actions. If you fill a glass with water and you bump that glass, water spills out. Not such a big deal. You wipe it up and what's left will even dry up and no problem. But if you fill a glass with gasoline and you bump that glass, you've got a problem because it soaks in. It's hard to wipe it up. It leaves an oily stain. It smells. Could even start a fire. be sure to fill yourself with wholesome things that are not toxic. If you have the habit to read things, and I just picked this out because I go to the grocery store and I always see those tabloids there. If you read a lot of tabloids and gossip magazines, crime stories, and that kind of stuff, your thoughts about people are likely to be downgrading accordingly. If you happen to listen to music with foul language, or the country boy ran off with his neighbor's wife, or a rock singer on the highway to hell, your words may eventually reflect that same low self-esteem of life. Pastor Jeff Grinnell, the man who started this church years ago, was at First Assembly, the church that I was at for a quarter of a century. He led the youth there, and he was known to say, if you can't pray it, then don't play it. Now, I don't think that goes across the board, but in general, that is a really good rule to follow. If you can't pray it, don't play it. If you enjoy watching things like war and disaster news, crime and violent TV shows, anything that degrades human life, your actions in a stressful situation may just be unnecessarily harsh personal testimony. I like to watch those things. I like to watch the news, and I have to moderate it because I lose compassion for people when I see too much of that stuff. Whatever you put inside of yourself will eventually come back out. It has been said that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And I found that to be true in my own life and observing other people. Taking that as a truth, let's say your body, mind, and soul are the average of the five things that you most ingest in each of the categories we've just discussed. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, bad company corrupts good character. Step number one was you are what you eat, and understand that. Step number two, change your diet. Because what goes in must come out. As for food and what we ingest for our mouth, this is not so spiritual, but I got to talk about it because it's kind of a big thing in my life. I've struggled with food most of it. And I'm not a nutritionist. A nutritionist, and this sermon is not about dietary guidelines, but you can't really deny it. It's best to eat wholesome foods. We could benefit just because of all the diets that are always out there, paying more attention to, or less attention to, how much we eat and more attention to what we eat. And just for the record, the Bible does not direct our dietary guidelines, even though in Genesis we began as vegetarians, then sin entered the world and death through sin. At some point in there, man became an omnivore, I guess, eating both vegetation and meat. And in Deuteronomy 14, we have the Jewish dietary laws from the Old Testament, which we were set free from in Acts 10, where Peter saw the vision of all the creatures coming down in a net. But I would point out, if you looked at those dietary laws and you discussed it with a dietitian, you would probably agree that those are pretty good things to avoid, even today, even though we're allowed to eat them. We no longer have those restrictions, but I think it's safe to say to eat the things that look closest to the way God created them. Fruit should not look like a pressed up layer of candy. Vegetables should not come in a bag called veggie straws, even though I love those things. And a fish should not be processed in a blender and pressed back into the shape of a cute little fish. Cheese puffs, one of my favorite not food items. I don't eat them very often, but I really would if I could. Read the back of the label, the ingredients. There's 19 ingredients on cheese puffs. Mostly chemicals. One of them implies that it might be something like cheese. Anyhow, end of the food lecture. That was just more for my benefit just to talk about that. I like talking about food. What should we read? 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is God-breathed. It is fully endorsed by the author of not only the book but creation. It is completely true, completely trustworthy. It is inerrant. It is infallible. It cannot lie. It cannot mislead. No other publication on earth ever could or ever will be able to make that claim. Even the Bible commentaries, which you would think are quite not so holy, but I mean, these are pretty pristine publications based on the Bible. But yet there's still layers below God's perfection in his book. Much, think about how much farther all the other publications that we read are way farther removed from God's perfection. How many of you have been to a bookstore in recent years? A few, not too many. They still exist for the rest of you. They do still exist. But they're like mega stores. It's like the Home Depot of literature. 2 months ago, I was in Florida, went to Books A Million. And this is no kidding. Their magazine rack, for sure, was from that wall to that wall and down to the sound cushions there around the corner of magazines. That's just magazines. Thousands of topics and subtopics and sub-subtopics. And there's even topics about subs. Just a few that I thought for fun I'd share with you. Emus today. Anybody know what an emu is? It's a miniature ostrich. So they probably have an ostrich today also. And then Miniature Donkey magazine, which I would assume if there's a miniature donkey magazine, there's a regular donkey magazine. Private Islands. How many people would own an island or even dream of owning an island? And we got one taker here. All right. Sign up for the subscription in the back. How about Lighthouse Digest? You're there? Maybe. Okay, we got one over here. Do I hear two? Okay, now, Croquet Gazette. Our family plays croquet. I guess that's okay. But this one, no kids in the room that I see, but guard your ears anyways. No kidding. Modern Drunkard. I didn't even dare open it. Here's a magazine teaching you how to be a drunk. Couple fun ones. PRO, P-R-O. P-R-O stands for Portable Restroom Operator. Are there really that many doing that they got of a magazine? And now, not to be confused with Crappy Times. A crappy is a fish. I guess you're supposed to call it a crappie, but it's spelled crappy, so I call it a crappy. But every fish, now it used to be just Sports Field and Stream and Sports Afield had general sporting stuff. Now every species of fish has got its own magazine. Now, of course, there's a way lot more of bad magazines that I don't even want to talk about, but our world seems to have gone mad, and that's a magazine, on this information craze. And certainly, I would agree, there is a lot to be gained from all this knowledge, no doubt. But our main ingredient for what we are going to ingest, our main ingredient should still be God's word. And about hearing now. Proverbs 2, verse 2, make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline to understanding. John 16, Jesus says the Holy Spirit is going to come and guide us into all truths. Taking that into consideration, both of those, if our mind is trained to seek wisdom, then the Holy Spirit is going to filter out that foolishness or at least raise a red flag for us. Pro tip. From Romans 10:17, Paul says faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Revelations 1, verse 3 says this, blessed is the one who reads out loud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear. So here's the tip. Build your faith exponentially by reading the word out loud, even if it's just to yourself, because you are blessed by reading it and even by hearing your own voice. As for music, Pastor Bobby gave us that Spotify, what you call it, thing on the phone. I couldn't get to work, but I know how to listen to worship music. It's a great idea. Listen to worship music. Or maybe something a little bit more mellow. Studies have shown, fun fact here, that classical music, I think it's actually Baroque music, which is, I can't explain it, but Baroque classical music is able to cause healing in people. It just does something with your brain, calms it down, and can correct some neurons or whatever the things are up in there. On the contrary, though, opera music has been shown successfully to rid entire buildings of all types of pests and rodents. Just kidding. Not true, but I hope I didn't offend any opera people. They're very talented, and they got... Just kidding. And by at the end of it, we'll end this part with Psalm 150, the last psalm in our Bibles. It has this encore of promotion of music and praise. And throughout the Psalms, we continue to see it talking about praise, our voices, music. So immerse your hearing in life-giving sound. And finally, what we should watch. Psalms 119:37 says, "Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word." Proverbs 4, verse 25 says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you." Anybody been to Mackinac Island lately? There is a child. There's two things to note about the horses there. The first one, you just don't step in. The second one is on their face. They got these blinders, and it keeps them from getting distracted from all the people and perhaps causing a problem and hurting people unintentionally, but it fixes their focus, their gaze forward where they need to. Again, if our mind is trained to seek wisdom, godly wisdom, then the Holy Spirit will filter out the foolishness and the valuelessness that we see. It's been said that the eyes are the window to the soul. I used to be a taxidermist. That's a person who takes dead things and stuffs them and hangs them on the wall. I competed in that for years. I wanted to be the best. Watching the judges, they had a checklist a mile long, and they would check every little feather, every little hair, the placement of the feet, all the positioning, everything. They would check off, nice job, nice job, nice job, nice job, nice job. They would come to the front of that animal, and they would look at the eyes, and if the eyes weren't perfect, you're done. Because those eyes, even in a dead animal, they seem to look right into your soul. The eyes are the most accessible, earthly gateway for anything attempting to enter your innermost being. And understand this. Be careful where your vision dwells, because some things cannot be unseen. So step one, you are what you eat. Step two, change your diet. Step three, transform and renew. Let God reprogram your thoughts. I found this magnificent little verse. It comes from Job, and there are so many really cool verses. The whole book. It's one of the first books I ever read out of the Bible is Job. And a lot of people don't want it because of all the suffering. But it's the end that makes it awesome. But this one verse here applies today. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering in their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. How beautiful is that? So the takeaway here tonight and every night, when you lay down, take time to be silent. Cast your cares on him. Be anxious for nothing. And then think on these things. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. And the God of peace will be with you through the night. Mr. Youngman, my favorite teacher of all, fifth grade, came from the Netherlands. All kinds of quirky things about this man, but he was full of wisdom. He said to us one time, if you have a problem that you just can't solve and you prayed about it, go to sleep. And then just think on that problem and pray that God works it through. And in the morning, you're very likely to have the solution. It's not a doctrine that we can necessarily depend on, but it has worked. Give opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work. And then when you wake, from Proverbs 3, verse 5, just paraphrase this verse in those quiet mornings or quiet hours or minutes of the morning and just say something to the effect that this morning and throughout this day, I trust you, Jesus, and I'm not going to lean on my own understanding or my own logic to figure out what I don't need to know. And in everything I do, I will submit to you and give you the glory. And I will walk expectantly, knowing that you are placing my path in order. When God's process engages in your life, then your contents will always match your label. Worship team, if you'd come, please. Father, I thank you that it's not we who are in control. I thank you, Lord, that it is you, the sovereign God. Lord, I thank you that you've placed your Holy Spirit in us as believers to walk beside us, the Paraclete. And though we stumble and we trip and even fall at times, you are there to assist us back up along that path. Lord, I know that there are times when we fail, and what comes out of us is not what we wanted to allow out, but it's because we probably spent a little bit too much effort in putting those things in. God, as you walk through our lives with us and sanctify us, give us that ability, that will, that desire, that what we put into our mouth, our eyes, our ears, our mind, and our spirit is only wholesome things and godly things from you, in Jesus' name. If you're here this morning and you're not a believer, no need to be ashamed, because we all were not believers. But if that's you and you want to be part of the family of God this morning, I want to lead you through a simple prayer. We're all going to pray it together. And if that's you, if you just raise your hand so I know who and where you are, and just going to be praying for you. Then as we bow our heads, just repeat after me. For those who may be here or may be online and want to make that decision today. Father, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that I can't save myself. But I know that you sent your Son to die for me. And this day I turn away from my sinful life. I commit to following you, Jesus. I proclaim you Lord and Savior. Believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. And now, Lord, I trust that I will walk with you by my side for eternity. In your name, amen. And if there are anyone here who are like me, shared this with Pastor Sean. Seems like every time I come here, I have something that I really want to pontificate on. I spend weeks writing something that I'm going to just be the expert on. God's word and theology. And I had something all ready, just had to fine-tune it. I thought, finally. And then one morning, after that, I say, God showed me a YouTube video of a guy squeezing juice out of an orange. I said, thanks, God. I guess I'll put that one on the back burners like all the other ones and write another one. So the reason I say that is because I'm not a pontiff. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a Bible scholar. I actually come pretty late to the party on all of this. But I'm an expert on one thing for sure, how God works in my life. So I usually come here to you with a message that God is working in me, because I'm a work in progress. But I'm in good company, because I'm pretty sure every one of you, and you and you, are also a work in progress. How many of us know that what comes out of us, our contents, doesn't always match our label? Now, I know not everyone raised their hand, but I think it's probably unanimous. I'll just pray for each all. Father, we all stand. If you all would stand, let's all stand, please. Father, we all stand before you, humble and knowing that what's inside of us needs to be pure. And one day it will, when we come to see you, or you come to see us. But in the meantime, Lord, do a work in each one of us as we walk out. Remember this simple, silly little example, or some of the stories that were heard today. The word, your word, that Jesus spoke, may it rest in our heart and be the seed that sprouts to bring the fruit on each of our trees, that we may be judged accordingly. Now, Lord, we walk in your grace and mercy, and we thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Father, you're so good. Father, we love you so much. Father, I ask today as we go, God, today in this place, that, Father, you guide our paths. You show us opportunities, God, to show others who you are, God. We're a church of missions, God. But not just for the ones that are going to Alaska or for the ones that are going overseas, but even in our own backyard, Father God. Father, guide our path, God. Show us the opportunities to be the light in our own places, in our own homes, in our schools, in our jobs, in our community. So, Father, we love you, God. We love you for who you are, God. We love you for what you've done in our lives, God, what you're going to continue to do in our lives, and what you can help us to help others, God. So be blessed this morning as you go. In your holy and precious name, Father, thank you so much. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.